It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with the story about a Madison cafe owner.
Patrick Downey opened the Victory on Madison's east side in 2010 after moving the cafe from Brooklyn. WPR's Alyssa Allemand frequents the Victory and spoke with Downey about the community he's fostered at the cafe through his sarcastic yet welcoming personality.
The reason I opened a coffee shop is that I needed a job I couldn't quit. I was almost 40 and I thought it's cute when you're quitting all these jobs, but when you're 40 it's just like, what's wrong with this guy? So I got a job I couldn't quit and I haven't, even though the early days in Brooklyn were like rough. Really, 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 really rough. I'm Patrick Downey. I'm the proprietor of The Victory, located in Madison. Well, I was in New York for 26 years, starting in 1983 and ending in 2009 when, for kid-raising purposes, I relocated to Madison with my wife. We were advised to look on the east side by people that we knew in Madison, so I saw this space on Craigslist when I still lived in Brooklyn, and I really liked the windows. And since I knew I would be here a lot, I wanted it to be a space that I liked looking at. Like, this is where I spend most of my life. And oftentimes I think people feel like the time that they spend getting their coffee should get subtracted out of their life because it isn't worth as much as like the time they spend doing something meaningful. I would say that 90% of the people that come here very regularly. In Brooklyn, if you liked my shop, I would see you every day until you moved out of the neighborhood. Madison is a little bit different because people have cars, but a lot of people come here every day.
Good. How are you guys doing?
I mean, from a basic, let's not kid ourselves level, it means that we're still open and I'm paying my bills and feeding my kids, etc. So the fact that the people that like it really like it is probably the difference between having to get a job and being able to keep doing this. I actually feel very strongly that in my case, I do in fact put my money where my mouth is in terms of really trying to build a sense of community here. So that if you come in here, you know I know you. Like, I don't pretend I don't remember your order. I don't pretend I don't know your name.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
My name is Andrea Gonzalez-Paul. I used to work here. Patrick's the coolest. And so is The Victory. I think, like, you've had a lot of really cool people come through here. And it's just like a Madison, what do you call it? Staple. Yes, I view The Victory as a Madison staple.
It didn't occur to me until I came to Madison that, like, the people that came didn't just spend money. They showed me a great deal of love. I really value that. Like, I like that people come here and feel that it gives them something more than just me being a human coffee vending machine. If you come through the door of my shop, I have an almost pathological need to make you happy. I would explain to people that everything is all about me here. Like, it's my own little world. It's a little tiny world. It's like 14 seats legally. But it's my little world, and that's fine.
WPR's Alyssa Allemand brought us that story on Patrick Downey, owner of The Victory. This story was produced in collaboration with Tone Madison, an independent website covering culture and politics in Madison. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowland Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A UW-Milwaukee project documents the connections area residents have with access to food and how they view their lives. as hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites face hunger. That's according to Feeding America. UW-Milwaukee's Story Cart is an actual cart with audio equipment setting up in places to start conversations with strangers. Call in with a question or comment, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Nicole Welk-Yeager is Deputy Director of the Center for 21st Century Studies at UW-Milwaukee, working on its StoryCart project. Nicole, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having us.
Well, by the numbers, you have more than 8 hours of audio stories from people in the Milwaukee area talking about their food journeys, stories ranging from 3 minutes to 20 minutes, the age range all over the place, 4-year-olds to 80-year-old. What are you learning from these stories?
Oh, we're learning a lot. So some of the things that we're learning is that people have to go to multiple places to be able to most adequately get their food. The first question we ask them is, where do you most commonly gather your food? And more frequently than not, it's not one answer. People are answering with multiple locations, and there's multiple ways that they get to those locations. And then when we're talking about food connections and issues of food and trust, one of the questions we ask is, if you think of trust as a concept, what's a food or recipe that comes to mind? Those answers are really, really incredible and speak to the various different cultures and communities that make up the Milwaukee region.
So you've asked participants, these strangers, with a microphone in front of them, you know, when you think of trust, what is a taste or recipe that comes to mind? What are you hoping to learn from that question?
I think there are a few things that we hope to learn. These are questions that are based on, they're called sensory story prompts. Hmm. This is coming out of a tradition from Anne Bastings, Beautiful Questions. She's part of Time Slips and has really focused on questions that invite performance and maybe gets people to think outside of the box a little bit. And what's interesting about that question, I think, is we've really been exploring if food is the thing that connects us, if we're going to combat things like loneliness and isolation, if we're going to combat things like hunger, or we'll be talking a lot about civic engagement and trust in the coming years with the Story Cart, what's the thing that connects us? And is trust the thing that helps connect us? And is food the thing that does this? And so that question, when we're asking, when you think of trust, what's a food or recipe that comes to mind? I think it speaks to people's personal connections, how they build trust with family, how they build trust with strangers or with institutions or organizations like universities. And some of the answers have been quite conceptual, not just thinking about a specific recipe like my grandmother's soup or pasta or even thinking of macaroni and cheese, but also thinking conceptually. We've had answers like transparency and accountability. And I think that those are really important answers for us to explore a little bit more and think about a little bit more when we're thinking about that concept.
It's a big question for someone who's just walking up to you and having to think through a question like that. It's interesting what comes top of mind. And I'm wondering mm-hmm. what you think of this approach to talking with strangers as part of, you know, some bigger research concepts.
Yeah, I think one of the things we're trying to do at the center is we've been very academic and university focused for quite some time. And with the Story Cart, we're trying to invite everyone to the table to these conversations. And sometimes it's the top of mind that we're most interested in. Our mission at the Center for 21st Century Studies is to build a community of scholars to address the pressing issues of our time. I say that a million times a day, so I kind of have that motto in my brain. But the notion of a scholar, I mean, everyone has these experiences and data in their back pocket, so to speak, through how they live their life. And so I think asking people kind of sometimes quite randomly these types of questions, it helps get a sense of this is the lived experience. This is how people are thinking about these issues in the moment. And those are really important to keep in mind when we're thinking about these larger research topics.
let's listen to one lived experience. This is Katrina about traveling from Milwaukee to neighboring Waukesha to buy food.
I'm scared about buying my foods here in our community because they sell us below market and aftermarket and disgusting stuff that I don't want to eat and put in my body. I try to be healthy a little bit, but...
How often are people expressing negative relationships with food?
It's actually quite frequent. It's been quite surprising, and sometimes this comes up when we ask people where do they most commonly gather their food. And just to preface, we've visited over 23 different sites across Milwaukee, including some block parties that have been hosted by food pantries or service community partnerships, as well as so Katrina's interview was actually at Fondy Food Market, where we had that recording made in early July. And so when we ask people where they commonly gather their food, they're often at the farmer's market, and they'll say something like, oh, I don't know if I totally trust grocery stores. And I've been to some grocery stores where I've had spoiled food. We recently had some interviews where we got to the trust question, trust in food, and people went on concerned about chemicals and concerned about not just health and freshness in food, but actually what is in the food and how the food is being produced. And there's quite a disconnection that we're seeing in those answers. So I would say probably a good 30-40% of our interviews, and we've done over 150 of them, people are voicing concerns about their food.
You and the team plan to create this publicly available database with the stories and information from the StoryCart project. So with Katrina being an example, how would Katrina's story be used by researchers or artists?
We actually are leaving that up to the community. So we're trying to make this project as open and as collaborative as possible. So when we're building the database right now, it looks like it's going to be on an Omeka-S platform if anyone out there is interested in digital humanities work. But what it's going to have is all of the audio, the written transcripts, and any images, pictures of the individuals if they gave us permissions to link up with their audio clips. And what we're inviting researchers and different organizations like Milwaukee Public Libraries is one partnership we have. We also have a partnership with the Milwaukee Food Council. They can use these stories to activate existing data. There's a lot of data out there about food access and food insecurity. There's a lot of data out there about distrust and trust in food, as well as some incredible initiatives going on in Milwaukee trying to address these issues. And so our hope is with that open access platform that people can use the data in any way that they see fit and hopefully find a story or an image or some information that might help them better activate the things that they already know. And so it's quite open, it's quite collaborative, and we are working with two artist organizations, and they're hoping to really highlight the beautiful stories that are coming out of this collection, because we not only ask about where people are gathering food, how they get there, and food and trust, but we're also asking about what food is meaningful to them, and also what a dream garden plot look like. And so it's not just about addressing the issue, it's also thinking about solutions and maybe reimagining our food systems that's coming out of those stories.
Nicole Welkjager, Deputy Director of the Center for 21st Century Studies at UW-Milwaukee, working on its story cart that seeks to document stories of Milwaukee area residents. Call in with a question, add a comment along the way, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore a story experience program underway in Milwaukee County called StoryCart. Striking up conversations with strangers to reflect on how food connects us to other issues. Be part of this conversation at any point. Call in with a question, share your experience at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Deputy Director of the Center for 21st Century Studies at UW-Milwaukee, Nicole Welk-Yeager, is part of the StoryCart project and stays with us. Nicole, you mentioned solutions to food insecurity. What ideas have surfaced from these interviews about local solutions?
Yeah, I think that there are a few solutions that are coming out of this project, and this is the larger network of participants in the project, and participants, I mean, the hosts and the organizations, as well as what people are voicing in these stories. And the three that are really top of mind for me are very local grocery stores, and grocery stores being part of the solution. The other is community gardens or urban farms being part of that as well. And then also continuing to support food pantries or food centers and trying to reimagine what a food pantry might look like. And these are hyper-localized, sometimes block-for-block relationships that we're seeing, and people are engaging with these various different factors or different organizations and institutions in different ways.
All three of these things you mentioned, they exist in our Wisconsin. But when you say
Absolutely.
Very, very local grocery stores, what do you mean by that? And what is the role there?
I think the important thing is using that data I was talking about, this data that exists of seeing where there are food deserts, where we're seeing examples of food apartheid, and where we're seeing blocks and blocks of there's not a easy available easy access to affordable, fresh, high quality foods, fresh fruits or vegetables. There are a lot of these pockets in Milwaukee. And so I know that one of the places that we went to, they celebrated their first anniversary as a grocery store in one of these pockets. They started it at Sherman Park Grocery Store. And so they were committed after hearing all of these hearing sessions that this was a want of the community to have a grocery store, not just a gas station for food access issues. And so That's what I'm talking more about, is seeing where we need these to be placed. Where does a community garden need to be placed, a grocery store or a food pantry or food center? The location is really important, especially as we're addressing transportation issues that can become quite dicey when we, especially when we get to the winter time.
Speaking of Sherman Park Grocery Store, let's hear from Maurice responding to the question, when you think of trust, what is a food that comes to mind?
My mama's macaroni and cheese. I trust her because she put love in it. And that's what we're doing here at Sherman Park Grocery Store. You might consider it an entity or a business, but it's not a business. We're not just a grocery store. We're building community here. We're creating or putting the neighboring back in the hood, if you will.
So Maurice said the grocery store filling a gap in Milwaukee's Sherman Park neighborhood. How is this grocery store different from others?
It's different in a few ways. So that was Maurice Wentz. He is the owner with his family of this grocery store. They are committed to fresh fruits and vegetables in a way that is unprecedented in some ways. They have a hydroponics garden that's in the facility. They also are really trying their best to find other resources to be able to help particularly single parent homes get the fresh fruits and staples that are needed. And so he's been working with a few nonprofit organizations to get donations so that they can give out these $50 cards that are to the grocery store so that people can commit to buying fresh fruit, vegetables, as well as eggs and dairy if needed for their homes. And so that's what makes them special. They also are really focused on issues of sustainability and food sovereignty and collaboration within community. So hiring people within Sherman Park to work the grocery store, and also really listening to their neighbors as to what is needed when moving forward and thinking about the growth of that space.
Nicole Welkiger, Deputy Director of the Center for 21st Century Studies at UW-Milwaukee, overseeing its Story Cart project. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's hear from Alex about being a restaurant owner in the Milwaukee area.
A food that's special to me is probably sticky rice. Being Laos, I know everyone eats sticky rice in Asia or in Southeast Asia, but you know, they say if 85% of your diet is sticky rice, you're probably Lao. But growing up eating it was like our daily bread.
Alex, connecting food to culture, place, religion. How connected are food and culture? What did you hear?
Oh, we heard a lot, especially in the meaningful food, but also in that trust question. When people thought about the taste of trust, they often went back to their heritage roots. There was one person that we interviewed on Southside, and they talked about, when I think of taste and trust, I think of Mexican, and I think of peppers, and I think of spice. Some people have gone so far as to talk about like the various different tonal qualities of the taste of trust, and it has to do with their mixed cultural heritage. So there's something there about celebrating who you are and celebrating who you love through food that I think is so important for us to recognize and to listen in these stories.
Nicole, we only have a few moments left here, but do you think the story cart concept might change the way historians or sociologists do research?
I think that in ways it's already happening. We have the National Story Corps program that works with the Library of Congress to collect stories. I think what's different here is that we're hyper-focused on Milwaukee and the Milwaukee region. Another thing that's different is that we focus on a prompt and circulate that prompt each year and have community partners talking directly to academics. So I think this is community-engaged research in a different way.
Okay.
This has been happening in other spaces, but this hopefully with the story database that people can feel open to using these stories, and not just in the academic or university space, but also for their personal interest and use too.
Nicole Welkiger, Deputy Director of UW-Milwaukee's Center for 21st Century Studies. We have a link to StoryCart, wpr.org/mornings. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.